Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good, hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this rather crazy old lady for yet another round of drinks on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world so immersed in inversion, we have lost track of the actual authorized version. A world so lost up its own arse, if it were theatre, it would be a farce. A world so incredibly at odds with itself, it is experiencing serious issues with global mental health. A world that has fallen so far from the garden, one wonders if there is still a possibility of a divine pardon. But the question on our minds that makes us say, what the hey, is when will all the bad guys swing at the magnificent Cuban YMCA? Ooh, yeah, that YMCA. That will be a wonderful day, won't it? We want to see perp walks, people, because if you're trying to subjugate the entire population of Earth and you are planning depopulation, transhumanism, posthumanism, and basically you want to kill everyone, the very least we owe you is a hanging. The very least we owe you is an execution. And I can assure you, if you don't, I'm not going to say confess your sins because we don't do that shit on this show, but if you don't realign yourself with all that is good and holy and wholesome in this realm, it doesn't matter if we hang you. What's waiting for you on the other side, my brothers and sisters? I would not want to be you. Welcome back, martini heads. I raise my glass to you. You can't see, but I have a glass. I always have a glass because I always have a martini. For those who are joining us for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. Be advised, this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. We are not woke. We know the agenda behind the fake poke. We understand the nefarious nature of deep state ideology, and our mission is to destroy it and then restore the American Republic, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Yes, darlings, you found us out. We're patriots. Oh my God, whatever shall we do? So to recap, our ideology as martini heads is always buy the best vodka you can possibly afford. And then, you know, we worship God, or represent God is a more accurate description of how we see ourselves. We want God without religion. We want politics without partisan affiliations. And all of those things are not only possible, we believe it's the only way to move out of 3D density and into the higher vibration commonly known as self-realization. And the best thing about being a martini head is that we get to do all this while enjoying a well-mixed cocktail. And in the crazy world we live in, I'll tell you, it's not such a bad thing to have a drinky poo once in a while. It certainly takes the edge off. Anyway, that's who we are. And whoever the heck you are out there, I do hope you enjoy the show. And what do we have on today's show? Well, we have, as always, the meat of our show, Quack. Questions, answers, and comments from you, the people. We will probably follow that up with a tiny pat of poetry, which is, the segment where I get to terrorize my listeners with my agonizingly original poetry, some of which is actually quite good. And then if we have time, we follow that with weird and wacky American monsters, legends, assorted oddities, anything old and American that could be described as, you know, paranormal. And I'm not talking about Nancy Pelosi or Schumer. I'm talking about, you know, real paranormal oddities. And then we will finish, as we always do, with my favorite part of the show, huzzah, the cocktail of the day. And today's drinky poo, my darlings, is a corker. It really is. So without further ado, let's taste it and see if it's a winner or a sinner. Hold on, my darlings, don't go away. Sipping is happening. Give me a minute here. Oh, oh, Arnie's found a winner. That is not a sinner, baby. That is a winner. Yummy. More about that towards the end of the show. Now that I am suitably lubricated, always a good idea for a woman of my age, let's get on with the show and let's begin with questions, answers, and comments. Ladies and gentle people, if you would like to share the contents of your battered and besieged minds with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me, arnie@arnieavedisian.com. And don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I will refer to you as omit personal details. All right, let's go ahead and shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, shaky. I'm shaking the fishbowl. What's in there? What's in there today? This is a big thing in the fishbowl, so I'll just easily fish this one out because it's a postcard. And it's from Judy in San Diego. Hello, Judy in San Diego. And she says, you have not played your kazoo recently. Did it break? What is the matter? Bring back the kazoo. Well, heavens. Well, Judy, actually, I did break one a while ago. But my friend Joanne, down the road from me in Albany, she sent me another one, a very posh one, actually. And so let me go ahead and apologize for my lack of kazoo-strosity. And here's a quick blast to make up for it. Now, are you happy that you asked me to play the kazoo? Are you happy? I'm dreadful on the damn thing. But, you know, I've got to say, thank you, Judy, for bringing that up. Martini heads are 50-50 on the kazoo. Half love it, half hate it. So going forward, I'll play a bit. I'll do it sparingly. And let's all be grateful I didn't take up the bagpipes, shall we? Moving on. What else came in today? Ah, yes. Oh, my gosh. This is like a group of people, and it's so much fun. We had some questions come in from our Puerto Rico listeners out in the territories there, and they collectively call themselves the Pirates of the Caribbean, or in America, Caribbean. And it's always a pleasure to hear from them because they're such bright, shiny, colorful, happy people. And so I have to say, hola a mis amigas puertorriqueños. Estoy feliz de estar con todos ustedes hoy. And that's all the extent of my Spanish. So what plagues the minds of the Puerto Rico peeps today? Let's take a look. There's quite a few questions in this from the group. Dear Cosmic Arnie, how can I do a life review while I am still on this side? I'd like to see all the stuff that I have done that I don't want to see. Not necessarily for me to go to people and make amends, but to be aware of my wrongdoings and just release them all in one massive cleanse. I'd also like to see my right doings because I often minimize and forget them. By doing it here, perchance it will be less unpleasant when I am on the other side. Thank you. And this is from Victoria in the Greater Antilles, who's part of the Pirates of the Caribbean. Perchance. My gosh, Puerto Rico. Are we studying English as in English literature? Fantastically well written. Let's have a look. How can I do my life review while I'm on this side? Not a problem. I'd like to see all the stuff that I've done. I don't want to see for making it. Okay, that all makes total sense. Listen, here's the thing. You might as well do your life review while you're on this side, because then you'll be able to live in that proverbial now that everybody goes on about. So for those who don't know, when we shed our mortal coil and our mind and our consciousness wraps itself around the light body and the portal opens and we go to a place that we call heaven, we are still in that one personality. You don't just suddenly die and become an angel. If you're John Smith, you die, you go to heaven, you're John Smith. And once you've settled in and you've figured out what's happened to you, you will do a life review. But you will do a life review when you have understood that you are not just John Smith and that you have a greater sense of your cumulative soul and all of the experiences that your soul has had on various realms and planets. So when you're at that place, you're a lot more objective and you don't hate yourself in the way that we have self-loathing here on Earth. And you don't get triggered in the same way as we get triggered here on Earth. So you will see the entire movie of your life. And that sounds horrendous to people who aren't self-realized, horrendous to people who have a strong ego. But believe me, when you're objective about it, it's not a problem. How can you achieve that state of mind on this realm? Simple. Victoria of the Greater Antilles, what I would recommend, first of all, is spend a whole month just doing breath meditation, getting accustomed to hearing the voices in your own head. Which of those voices are your lower self, your middle self, your higher self, which is the voice that you think is God? You know, take all the junk out of your head and just breathe. It takes about a month, actually, 12 to 20 minutes a day. Deep diaphragm breathing. I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out with a full exhale. And the purpose that this serves is it takes all the junk out of your head and it takes all of the junk that is circulating, all those redundant thought forms, it takes that out of your energy anatomy. After about a month, it will have been as if you've defragmented your computer and done a disk drive and everything is back where it needs to be. When you're at that stage of alignment, maintain the breath work every day. Because now that you're aligned and stable, you can set aside some time every day after your breath meditation to just let things that are buried inside you float up to the surface. So let's say you're meditating for 15 minutes with breath meditation. You're in a wonderful space at that time. Why not take another 15, 20 minutes and just allow anything that is trapped inside your being to float up to the top? Excuse me. For example, you might suddenly have a vision of something that happened to you in Catholic school. That comes up surprisingly often. Or you might have a vision of something you did to somebody else that you're ashamed of. That sort of thing. That's what I'm talking about. Allow those to come up. And then as you process them, just breathe through them and go, I was younger. I was stupid. Surely, had I known better, I would have done better. And just breathe through things until you feel calm. That is the very first step. This way, you're training your mind, your consciousness, that every time you get a thought about doing something, having an action that doesn't match up with your belief system. You see what I'm getting at here? Every time you have that, I guess what we used to call it anxiety, we call it cognitive dissonance now. When you get that little, ooh, I shouldn't really be doing this, I shouldn't be thinking this, or I shouldn't have done that. When you get that, you automatically start the breathing, which stabilizes the electrical body, which immediately makes you objective so that you can process the emotion. Had I known better, surely I would have done better. Breathe through it and continue that type of exercise, which I'm not going to go to in great detail here because I've got a whole show to do. But that's a very good start. And you'll find in time that things bother you less and you mess up less. And probably a year from now, you are going to have such a charmed, aligned life, you won't even remember actually having asked this question. So thank you, Victoria, in the Greater Antilles for that. What else is there from the Pirates of the Caribbean? And this is from Raven in Puerto Rico. And she says, Dear Cosmic Arnie, Does this even make sense? I don't know. Let's read it and see. I want to be closer to Jesus, Emmanuel. Yet I am against organized religion and can't stand the controlling, condescending, manipulative, fear-based language of the Bible. Raven in Puerto Rico, why don't you tell us how you really feel about organized religion, darling? That's so cool. So funny. Still, she continues, I try reading it and sifting through what my intuition screams. And my intuition screams, this is bullshit. But, you know, I try to capture the essence of what he is probably trying to convey. I can meditate to speak with him, but I feel like I'm missing out from knowing him when there are so many books written. When I focus on the Christ light that is beyond Emmanuel in his human form, I feel peace and understanding. But I guess I'd still like to know his human experience better. What do you suggest? Great questions, because incidentally, I will just say, you know, I always talk about the fact that we're going to transcend religion because self-realized societies do. But it's not as if what we're going to wake up one morning and it's going to be like, no, nobody talks about Jesus. Nobody talks about Muhammad. Move along here. Nothing to see here. I think we're going to go back into sort of mysticism and spiritualism for a bit and until we all morph into our cultural social philosophy that matches the higher dimension. And I really do believe that the teachings of the true teachings of Jesus, which don't appear in the Bible, you're quite right about that, the Gnostic stuff, that will all resurface and be republished and reevaluated. And we'll go back to having a sort of a mystical experience with the energy from which Emmanuel came. So the Christ consciousness is an entire consciousness. The soul that we call Sananda has had many lives as a prophet. These are very, very special souls. They're not even birthed by gods. They're birthed by archangels. So I would start with reading a little bit about the Essenes and going, taking your reading more to a Gnostic point of view, Gnosticism, knowledge, personal relationship with God. And I very much feel, Raven, that once you've sort of done that for a little bit, you will feel the connection of the individualized Emmanuel come to you and help you with your sacred readings. So thank you for that question. So that's my advice on that. And this next one from Puerto Rico is from Omit Personal Details, who says, Dear Cosmicani, there are so many Anons clinging madly to fundamental Christianity, and their world is going to collapse when they understand the truth about religion. Also, with Charlie Kirk's murder, RIP, there's a Christian revival going on. I am not against it, except it's going to hurt when they wake up. What can I do to help? There's no preemptive conversation to be had. What do you think comes next? Aha! Let me have a little sip of my drink and see how I can answer this one. I'm going to have to go slow with that because it is actually delicious. Okay. It's so delicious, you forget there's alcohol in it. Yes, there is a huge right-wing Christian movement in the Republicans, in the conservative movement, in the Anons. Yes. And that was a major Christian revival. It was many things, actually, Charlie Kirk's murder. The more you think about it, you see how many different agendas it served. It was many things. But it did feel a lot like a Christian revival. And I have a problem with some of that language because I'm, you know, I live in a different world from that. But what can you do to help? You're going to have to let the Christian revival come up because it's the only thing right now we have that is going to counterbalance New World Order using Islam, which is not a religion of peace, but a Luciferian ideology. So the Christian revival is the only thing that's going to be the proper counterbalance to them pushing Islam on everyone. You're going to have to let it come up. And as it does come up, and as we all get all into this Christian fervor or whatever, all storms run out of steam. I believe that we have to let the fervor rise up so that all the goodness that's in Christianity is crystallized and also all the shit that's in Christianity floats to the top. So I wouldn't worry about it, really. I would seek your own personal relationship with whatever you wish to call the divine. Oh, and there's more to that. Along the same lines as above, what do you think of the current Christian revival based on what you know that religion is a tool for the cabal and will be obsolete hopefully soon? Oh, I think I just answered that without reading the rest of the question. How brilliant am I? Yeah, it'll be obsolete, but not in the way that you think. In the same way as, you know, one era, like the Stone Age ends, and then there's a bronze, and then there's an iron, and then there's other things, and it doesn't happen overnight. We're morphing. I believe that once we have the distillation of all of the religions, and we have more clarity in the fourth dimension, so we'll be able to see what's true and what's woo, then those will go into our history, our anthropology, our social philosophy. They will never be lost. The threads will always be there, but people will no longer need to come together to worship somebody who they feel is outside of themselves for an hour and a half every Sunday, and they go back to their miserable, unhappy lives. And moving on, another one, and this is from the Chiquita Banana in the Caribbean, from our Puerto Ricanos contingent there. Dear Cosmicani, you once shared the pamphlet titled The Golden Key by Emmett Fox. Yes, I did. I have been reading it daily and applying what it says, and I wanted to share the things that are shifting for me. It feels like magic, but I know it's just how I should be living every day if I were in alignment. Thank you, Emmett Fox. I'm very glad that it worked for you. Guys, if you go to any bookshop, but you can go to unityschoolofchristianity.com. And Emmett Fox writes or has written many, many books. And this is a little tiny pamphlet called The Golden Key, which teaches you how to pray properly and then to let go and let God. I have always said you pray once and then you let it go. And every time it comes up and you have anxiety about it, you stop yourself and you say, I already talked to God about this. Something with a much higher, my allness is taking care of this, not just my little smallness. So it teaches you how to pray, to let go and let God. And it's a real treasure. The Golden Key by Emmett Fox. Go out and buy one. And then we have another one. Oh, there's more from Puerto Rico. And this is from Sleepless in San Juan. Dear Cosmicani, you have mentioned before to stay away from Ouija boards. What about tarot? What about oracle cards and runes? How are they different from a Ouija board? Ooh, that is such a good question. Let me have a sip of my drinky poo. Okay, let's take a look at what these things are. The Ouija board, the squeegee Ouija board. It's a bit of wood and it's got yes, no, it's got letters, numbers. Basically, somebody from the other side, can communicate by spelling out letters and showing numbers and going yes and no. All right, that's what it's designed for, but does it have a safety system or anything? It's just an open communication device. It's a bit like surfing the net without McAfee or Norton, without a firewall. What about the other things? Ouija boards, we did. Okay, tarot and oracle cards, runes. Okay. The tarot cards are pieces of paper with painting on them. Runes are stones with carvings on them. In themselves, they are not evil, no more evil than the Ouija board is. But the tarot, each of those cards already has a designated meaning to it. It already has something assigned to it. It can't be played with in quite the same way as the Ouija board can be. And the same with the runes. Each of those carvings have a meaning. They have a designation. So manipulating them isn't impossible, but it would be a real pain in the ass and far too much trouble for any demon trickster. Whereas the Ouija board, letters, numbers, yes and no. And when people do the tarot cards, etc., they usually go to a professional for a proper reading, and the runes too. They go to a professional for a proper reading, a professional who knows how to keep everything clean, pure, stable, has a clean aura themselves, and is a metaphysician, a professional metaphysician. You're not going to go into a demon-infested office. Whereas people who use the Ouija boards generally do it when they've had a couple of cocktails and, you know, there are no professionals anywhere there. So that's my major difference. I hope that made some sort of sense. I've had three big sips of this drink now. But with whatever you're using, keep it clean, bless it, smudge it, wash it, pray over it. And whenever you are seeking wisdom or information in such a setting, make sure that you all pray together and insist that the information that you get is from the light, the purest light, and only the light of Christ, or the light of God, or the light of Source, or whatever floats your little boaty. All right, hopefully that's a decent explanation. Thank you, Sleepless in San Juan. And I want to thank the Puerto Rican contingent because they are such a fun group of gals. I am very serious about one day flying out there to meet you all and swim in the wonderful, clear Puerto Rican waters and sample all the rum in the island, all the rum. So, I mean, perhaps we could have a live show from the Bacardi distillery there. You know, I should call and ask them. I think it is Bacardi. Oh, my, I hope it is. It is it? I'll check that later. Anyway, I know you have rum, so I'll be there. So I'll just try to say, gracias, amigas. Gracias por escuchar mi programa. Gracias por sus cartas. There we are. I managed a few more words in Spanish. And do we have anything from anywhere else that isn't Puerto Rico? I think we do. Let's take a look in the fishbowl. I think we have a couple here. Yes. Let me shake up the bottom a little bit. Not my bottom. I have an excellent bottom, as it happens, and it's a lot smaller than it used to be. But I meant, let me shake up the bottom of the bowl of perpetual perplexitaire and see what else is stuck in there. This is from Faithful Servant, who resides in Bethesda, which I believe is in the land of Mary. And Faithful Servant asks, why are you so opposed to Halloween food that is made to resemble human body parts? It's just for fun. Is it? I don't know, Faithful Servant. Who are you serving exactly, God or Lucifer? Listen, man, I'll tell you, you do what you want, but I'll tell you why. I have a big problem with it, because the people we laughingly call the elites, the parasites of Satan, they eat human flesh and they drink human blood. And sometimes they penetrate children sexually and then cut off bits of them and eat them. So, you know, there are very, very many dark rituals associated with eating human body parts. And it troubles me when I see people, you know, making skulls in the, you know, with bacon, or, you know, making feet from ground beef. To me, it troubles me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just my background, you know, my deep, dark, mysterious background. But I don't think it's healthy to pretend that you're eating human flesh on any level. That's my issue with it. And one more question today from Ethan. Ethan, who sent me a little postcard from Nice in France, where he is currently vacationing. I used to vacation down the road from Nice when I was younger in a little beach town named Juan-les-Pins. My grandfather had a little flat there above a pastry shop, one block from the beach. Man, those were the days. You'd wake up in the morning to the smell of fresh bread and fresh coffee, and you'd go down and you'd buy pain au chocolat and you'd buy the strawberry tarts and the tarte tata. I'm getting confused. Where am I? Ethan's story. Ethan, I've got your postcard here. I hope you're having a lovely vacation in Nice. Back to Ethan. Dear Arnie Mad Shaman, what is your take on the Emerald Tablets? Do they exist? Have you seen them? Whoa, so you're vacationing on the beach in Nice, in the south of France, and you're writing to me about Emerald Tablets. Dude, you are definitely one of us. You are definitely a martini head. Let me sip my martini. And let's see. I wish I'd have known I was going to pick this today, even though it's a ruddy great postcard. I would have done a bit more research, but just off the top of my head, I'm going to give you what we call the Jiffy Lube version. Jiffy Lube, by the way, for those who don't live in Oregon, it's where you take your oil to be changed, and they do it in a jiffy. Okay. The Emerald Tablets are essentially a collection of ancient Egyptian texts that we believe contain the wisdom of Thoth, and Thoth is the Egyptian god of knowledge and wisdom. So, you know, given that, you'd want his wisdom, wouldn't you? We don't have tablets. I certainly don't have tablets. We don't know where the tablets are. How do we have translations of them? That's all we have, translations of the tablets. So I can give you a quick 101 quickie on that. There are seven tablets, basically, or so we've been told, that we have translated. The first tablet is really more about a 101 understanding of the universe and its mysteries, you know, how to approach the knowledge you are about to receive. It's a sort of a guide, I would say, to understanding universal principles. It talks about cosmic connection between all things. Life is eternal. A spiritual practice is mandatory. They talk about, you know, vibration, frequency. Everything is energy. Transmutation, what it means. Manifestation, what it means. So it's your 101 guide to the universe, guide to universal wisdom. Tablet number two takes us into the Hall of Records, which are inside, according to the Emerald Tablets, a place called the Halls of Amenti. And it's a mythological realm. And actually, both Amenti and the Hall of Records are significant elements within the Emerald Tablets. So Amenti, I mean, it comes up is what I'm trying to say. Amenti is the underworld of the realm, the afterlife in ancient Egyptian mythology. And the Hall of Records is supposed to be situated in Amenti. And we are told it houses the wisdom and the knowledge of humanity throughout the ages. So it sounds a bit like the Akashic Records, doesn't it? Although we might have, a difference of opinion as to where it is actually located. The Hall of Records has a boss, and that boss is Thoth. And he hints toyingly in the tablets, I think, that, look, if you really apply yourself, man, mortal man, you might be able to access some of the information in here, but only if you're spiritually pure and you understand that there is no duality and you maintain a spiritual path. So now tablet number two is getting deeper into life just isn't this thing. We have a Hall of Records. It's eternal. Tablet three is more about alchemy, unlocking the principles of alchemy. And then it goes into a great deal more about transmutation, both physical and mental. And here Thoth gives his little tips on alchemical processes. And he just reminds people, discipline, discipline, focus, focus, diligence, diligence, and don't give up. That's the sort of guidelines number three has. The Emerald Tablets number four, it's about space-time and how to master it. And this one is long-winded, in terms of you have to read it several thousand times, I believe. Because, you know, yes, we get the principle that time is not linear, but it exists in multiple dimensions simultaneously. I mean, that theory makes sense, but it also is like, what? Like, say what, you know? He also introduces the concepts of lords of time, entities that govern the flow and cycles of time. And he talks a great deal about if you can master time travel, if you can really understand what I'm trying to say here, he goes, oh my God, you could rule the world. You will unlock the key to such power you could blow up planets, but please don't. Number five, he talks about the seven lords and the seven forces. And these would be the lords and the forces that actually shape the universe. So I would say each force corresponds to an aspect of creation. So, you know, vibration, rhythm, polarity. And Thoth talks about how important it is to learn how to harmonize all these forces to achieve balance and growth. But it really is all about our power being in alignment with creation. And he talks about we should seek alignment before all else, above all else and before all else. And tablet number six talks about things in a more magical and transformative way. He talks more about balancing forces, how to use the universal laws to make it feel like you're doing magic. Because he says, if you've mastered yourself, that's where the magic is. The mind of creation aligned with our minds, a power is so potent it could explode planets. And number seven is the seven hermetic principles, as far as I remember and can make out. The seventh and last of the Emerald Tablets. And the seven hermetic principles were passed down to us, apparently, because who knows anything, man? You know, all we're doing is telling each other stories. And the stories that resonate with us, we go, oh, yeah, that's my truth. And the stories that don't resonate, we go, nah, I don't believe that. But there was supposed to be this bloke called Hermes Trismegistus. And he gave us the seven hermetic principles. Many people in many different ethnicities and many different cultures have given us similar things. But, you know, these are the seven hermetic principles as per Hermes Trismegistus. Damn, where's my book? The mentalism, the principle of mentalism. The mind is all. Remember, people, your minds don't die when your mortal body dies. Your mind travels with you. Your story is eternal. So, you know, the universe in its operation is mental in nature. And anything that exists in the universe is a manifestation of someone's mind. Damn, that's so profound, Arnie. Next, the principle of correspondence, which is basically, I'll just say, as above, so below. So below, as above. So we could call that learning harmony between the allness and the smallness. The third principle is vibration. Everything's always moving. Nothing is ever at rest. Everything vibrates. Everything's always in a constant state of motion, and everything vibrates at a specific frequency. Even it appears to be standing still, there is no such thing as standing still. The next one is polarity. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. So that's about opposing forces being essential for the creation process. The next is about the principle of rhythm, which is, you know, everything flows in and out. The tides go in, the tides come out. Everything goes up, everything comes down. And basically, I think with rhythm, what we're saying is everything in the universe is cyclical. Rhythms expand, they contract. Everything operates in cycles. Then it's the principle of cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. So I'm sure you were all taught at school, every action produces an equal and opposite reaction, and every cause has a corresponding effect. And then the principle of gender is the last one. Gender is in everything. Everything has its masculine and feminine principles. Note, masculine and feminine principles. So those are the seven hermetic principles from Hermes Trismegistus, which actually within themselves are really worth looking into, because it gives you a good understanding of the fundamental laws of the universe. And they are the seventh tablet of the Emerald Tablet. And with that, because that was a lot to unpack, thank you so much for that question. I forgot who gave me that question. Wait, hold on. I'm looking. Whose question was that? Whose question was that? That was Ethan. Ethan on the beach in Nice. I hope you're still there. That was a lot to unpack, man. So thank you very much for that question and reminding me that I actually need to do a cosmic conversation on the Emerald Tablets. So cheers for that. And with that, I announce the end of Quack. Thank you to all the martini heads for listening and writing in, because we started this show initially for Quack, just to see what the Patriots were thinking. And I did not want anyone to feel disenfranchised. And you have a home here if you're a disenfranchised Patriot. We are libertarians and conservatives, I'll give you that. But I mean, if you have a home here, we don't care where you're from. If you love your country and you want to see your country do well and you support what Trump is doing, Even if you don't like cocktails, join us. We make excellent mocktails. We really do. Do we have time for a poem? I think we might. Let's segue. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a tiny pat of poetry. Yes, folks, after a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, putting my feet up, having a nice cup of tea or a small drinky-poo, and writing the best street poetry this planet has ever experienced. Boo-ha! Today's officer offering... Did I write... You know, I wrote... offer. Did I write officer? Today's officer. Today's offering. Today's offering. We don't edit the show. I drink. I'm proud of the fact that I drink on this show, and there's going to be mistakes. Today's offering is from my recent Substack content and is titled, Perception is Unique to the Individualized Mind, but Contents of the Aforementioned Mind will vary. I'm tiddled. I'm so sorry. Actually, I'm not. I feel great. So, perception is unique to the individualized mind, but the contents of the aforementioned mind will vary. It's a very long title, but it's my poem and I can do what I want with it. So here we go. Beware the magic goggle box. It is run by state-sanctioned conjurers. Turn it off and try to detox. They are marketers, not philosophers. How should we define perception? Is it the world filtered through our senses? Do we believe in the Immaculate Conception or whatever else it claims and dispenses? They show us a picture from far, far away and give us a story they've written. If we believe it, we should be sorely dismayed to find ourselves so easily smitten, then bitten. Our minds, by the way, do not die with the flesh. They are part of the eternal evolution. It has been thus since before Gilgamesh, so many years ago, and still the confusion. Once, long ago, we were innocent. We listened to music on Top of the Pops. Once we thought of truth as omnipotent. And now we just juggle the psyops. Well, my darlings, what can I say? Our world is so very wonky right now. But we need the wonk, because we have spent so many years being bonked by the big man playing the honky-tonk. But he's about to be conked, because, oh my God, darlings, Big T snipped the dangly bits right off the UN the other day. If you have not heard his speech, you should go hear his speech. They turned off the escalator when he and Melania, wearing her wonderful high-heeled shoes, were about to embark. And they just looked at each other and thought, fuck you, and walked up. And then they turned off his teleprompter. Who in their right minds turns off the teleprompter of the most verbose man in the world? He rewarded that bad behavior by completely gutting the United Nations and talking for a good 30 to 40 minutes longer than he was going to talk. So if you haven't seen it, go to Rumble and watch it, because if you ever doubted that we're in the middle of a war of dark versus light, and if you ever doubted that DJT was on the side of the light, I believe you will be reassured. Of course, there are folks who would rather be sodomized by a giant chrome-plated parrot than admit they were misled. But hey, it's a free will universe, and in such a realm, we advise making common sense decisions, because free will requires accountability. A little note to all the people in Eugene and Portland in my state right now, attacking members of ICE. You stupid bloody wankers, what the heck do you think you're doing? Are you being paid? Do you think it's a game? Will it be a game when we start using live ammunition to shoot you? And that's what it's going to have to come to if you keep this up. Accountability, people, accountability. And now, well, I should admit I'm a little tiddly from this cocktail, and I want to keep the nice part of the tittle, so I should move on to weird and wacky American odd stuff. And I had a call, an actual call, from a martini head who said, would you talk about the St. Augustine Lighthouse in Florida? And I thought, well, I could, but I don't know anything about it, really. I don't know all the haunted places in the entire world. I don't know them all. She said, don't worry, I'll send you a little thing about it. And this is it. So today we're going to talk about the St. Augustine Lighthouse in Florida. So It's a unique and incredibly active location where much paranormal activity has occurred in both the lighthouse and the lighthouse keeper's house. Floridians apparently believe it's the most haunted place in America, but without a doubt, it's probably one of the most haunted places in St. Augustine, Florida. Lots of apparitions, lots of dark, shadowy figures, disembodied voices, and unexplained sounds. So the TV's paranormal show Ghost Hunters, I'm not going to tell you what I think of these shows, found several pieces of evidence on their visit. But the best footage of all of those was a video of a figure leaning over a railing inside the lighthouse. I took a look at that picture. Yeah, it could be paranormal. But anyway, lots of apparitions, dark shadowy figures, disembodied voices, unexplained sounds. And ghost hunters think they found a lot more evidence than just that one little apparition. They say, the daughters of the man in charge of construction of the lighthouse died nearby, and they keep seeing two little girls that have continued to haunt the lighthouse ever since. And there's an apparition of one young girl, and she runs up and down the lighthouse steps, laughing and giggling. And also adjacent to the lighthouse building, in the keeper's building, which I think is now the gift shop, previous lighthouse keepers have reported hearing strange sounds, seeing lights switch on and off, and witnessing apparitions of a man in the basement. And thank you to hauntedrooms.com for that information. Thank you to my friend in Florida for sending me this link. Apparently you can visit the lighthouse, but they recommend calling ahead for opening hours. You know, darlings, I think going forward, obviously I can't talk about non-disclosure things that I've signed, but going forward, I might include some of my ghost busts in this section and just leave out all the details about who it was and where, because I think some of my stuff is more exciting than what I'm reading here. Okay, darlings, oh my God, I finished my drink and I got rather wobbly, and that always means the end of the show. So I hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording it, because I had a blast. I always do. Today's real-life cocktail was yummy, and it's called a lychee martini. Yes, lychee, the South Asian fruit. And the quantity I'm going to give you is for two people, two martinis. And I dedicate this to my friend Marie, who lives in a small town in Colorado, and her liquor store can't always get really exotic things. So I make a point of sending her really exotic cocktails with lots of exotic ingredients just to frustrate her. And one of them was lychee liqueur. And so, you know, Marie, I know I play this little game with you, but I promise you, now that you've got that lychee liqueur, I'm going to send you 15 to 20 recipes that you can use it in. And this one actually doesn't even take the lychee liqueur. This one takes lychee juice from canned lychee. So here we go. Here's how you make it. You're going to need 6 ounces of vodka. It must be vodka. This is not a gin martini. Gin would taste horrible in this. 6 ounces of vodka. I'm using Kettle One because it's one of my favorites. 4 ounces of lychee juice, which I got from canned lychee from my local South Asian store. A splash of dry vermouth. I mean, start with a teaspoon. Use your judgment. And you're going to need some lychees from the can for garnish. So get yourselves a cocktail shaker. Fill it with ice. Add vodka, lychee juice, and a splash of vermouth. Shaky, 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 shaky until it's really well chilled. I do strain mine. Some people like it unfiltered. Pour into 2 martini glasses and garnish with the lychees. And yes, you can use canned lychees, as fresh is almost impossible to find. It's not one of those cocktails you might always be in the mood for, but it's a lovely summer day here in Oregon, and it's refreshing and it's different and it packs a punch and it's just wonderful. But remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat, if you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously. One drink, Ani Avedisian, one drink is all you need. Shout out to mysticalwares.com for graciously arranging the intergalactic distribution of this show. Mystical Wares has a location in Mount Vernon, Washington, but you can also go online, mysticalwares.com, because online or on location, they are wonderful people, and you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. I'm Ani, mad as the day is born, Aberdissian. This was a Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Until we meet again, stay sane, stay relatively sober, study American history and civics, love your country or move elsewhere, and above all, my darlings, let the spirit inhabit the human.
Have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.